And we are back. I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible tonight. There's something I'm saving for the end of this that God told me to read that I really believe is going to break a lot of things and is going to set you forward. We're going to not just read the scripture out of Psalm chapter, I believe Psalm chapter 18. We're not just going to read it, but we are going to decree it. We're going to declare it over your life. And there's some things that's going to come tumbling down. Somebody say tumbling down. Why don't you go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10. I've done said it like a million times, so you should be there. But it says this. Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his heritage, Israel?" This is when, give you a little backstory, Samuel anointed Saul and he's about to anoint Saul as king. And but one of the things he has to do for him first, he said, "Look, you need an experience with God. I know you're going to be a king and I'm anointing you and you got an anointing to be a king. But you got to understand this. If I don't send you to the high place of prayer, if I don't send you to the prophetic war, you'll always stay like this and you'll never get to the next place. And those of you that God is pulling you closer, I tell you, two nights ago, I was just sitting up in the bed and I just said, God, I just want to be closer to you. And tears just came to my eyes because that's just the sincere of my, it's just the desire, my earnest plea of my heart is to be close to the Father. I want to be close to him. I want to be close to him. I want to be closer to him. I want to see what he sees. I want to feel what he feels. I want to know what he knows. I want to experience what he experiences. I want to know what pains him. I want to know what makes him smile. I want to know what makes my daddy happy. I want to please God. I want to be close to him. You know, ain't no use in you being a Christian. You don't want to get close. Well, they don't take all that. And I've been here 20 years and you don't understand my story. And them pity parties are keeping you from being close to God. When if you would turn your pity party and allow yourself to shut up and go through it and allow that thing to become a testimony, then you won't be having the pity parties you think you'll have. You'll be coming out with power and not a pity party. You'll be coming out with power and prosperity in that power instead of pitiful stories. And it's time for us to leave praise reports and go on to testimony. I can't even get into that. I can't even touch that right now. But it says verse 2, "When you have left me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys you sought are found, and your father has quit caring about them and is anxious for you, asking, what shall I do about my son?' Then you will go on from there, and you will come to the oak of Tabor, and three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there." They will meet you at the house of God. They'll meet you at the place of prayer. They'll meet you at Bethel. Bethel. "One carrying three kids," or three goats, you know, young goats. "Another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin bottle of wine." Jesus. "They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand." There cannot be an impartation if there's not an exchange. There has to be an exchanging of bread, which means the exchanging of bread means there was an exchanging of the word. He took on some of the word that they had, and they took what was on him off. You cannot get an impartation from someone that's operating in a lower level than you are. That's not an impartation. That's a hand-me-down. Or a pass on, or a passing the baton. But when you get an impartation, it comes down from God through the person he's using to impart in your life because they have gone. Do not listen to anybody that has not gone where you're about to go, have done what you're about to do, has done greater than what you think you're about to do. Because God is anointing you to do more than they've ever done. So you can't go following somebody that don't know. I don't know nothing about prophetic intercession. I don't know nothing about seeing. I don't know nothing about vision and dreams. I don't know where you're going to be a prophet. I don't know where you're going to be trained to be a prophet. And I'm sorry, a pastor cannot train a prophet. An evangelist cannot train a prophet how to be a prophet. You only get those instructions from God and another prophet or a very prophetic apostle. Has to be someone that has walked those shoes and paid the price and walked through their midnight. You can't have somebody shucking and jiving and somebody a novice in the spirit. I don't even mean so much in church. I mean a novice in the spirit, because you're going to know everything about church and know nothing about God. Come on. They will greet you, verse 4, and give you 2 loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. 5, after that, you will come to the hill of God or the high place. Somebody say high place. Where the garrison of the Philistines is. And when you come to the city, you will meet a company of prophets coming down from what? The high place, with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. You know, a lot of times worship and prophesying go hand in hand. And if you're worshiping right, you're going to end up prophesying. I'm giving somebody a key there, right there. You can't come out of worship and not be saying what God's saying over your life. You don't go in to just get your face wet and snot come out your nose and roll around in the floor to say, I had a great time. Oh, I just love the Lord. Oh, Jesus, he's just so awesome. No, you come out with an assignment. You come out, no, we want to know what God is saying. You need to know what God is saying. I don't know where you need to be going in worship and don't know what God's saying. Well, I think he said something. I kind of missed it. I don't know, child. It was just a high time in prayer. I don't know what God said. It's time out for not knowing what God is saying. It's time out for, I think he said this, he said that, he said that. Well, God didn't say this. I don't know if it's God no more. I don't know. It's time for us to get confident in our faith in God. Because that's the only thing that's going to please him. And God's not moved by your tears. God's not moved by your testimony. God's not moved by your sad story. God's not moved by you complaining. God's moved by your faith. And your faith has nothing to do with your emotions. Had nothing to do with what you are presently operating in, what's going on around you. Your faith never dies. Your faith never goes nowhere. If it did, then every time you got a headache or threw up or got sick or had a death in the family, your faith would waver. You know, God would stop giving you words. But it's in those bleak times that God begins to really speak to you. I need to stick to my lesson. Verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily. Somebody say mightily. And you will show yourself to be a prophet with them, and you will be turned into another man. Verse 7, when these signs meet you, ooh, glory. We're trying to perform signs, but signs need to meet you. Ooh, Lord, we're trying to perform signs, wonders, and miracles, but they need to meet you. They only meet you when you come up. You got to come up from where you've been. We are too low in the body to hear what God is saying, so God is calling us up. Do whatever you find to be done, for God is with you. And later on, we see that it came to pass. It came to pass. Someone said it came to pass. And it fell on him so strong that verse 12 says, people began to ask, and it began to be a saying that he operated so much in the prophetic at that time. The people began to say, is Saul one of the prophets? But when he came down, his family, his uncle asked him, where have you been? You know, we done found the donkeys. Where you been? You know, what did Samuel tell you? What did the prophet tell you? You know, and at that time, Samuel was the highest ranking prophet of that time and of that day. And Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys were found. But, I love this, but of the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel spoke, he told him nothing. When you go to your prophetic high place, there's some stuff God gonna tell you, you can't tell everybody. You can't even tell another prophet. Because there's some prophets out here that's not praying. And that's one thing that has really ached to me. And I want to give you, this definition of what the prophetic word is out of the Prophet's Dictionary. It says, akin to the purpose of Shamar, or someone that is a watchman or watches, the prophetic word is the spherical territory, or a territory in the spirit, attached to the prophet's ministry that the prophet most frequently occupies. I don't want to be out here preaching more than I'm on my face. I want to be in my prophetic ward more than I am out here preaching. Oh, God, I can't even, come on, we're going to come right back with that. We're going to come right back with that because it's stuff in the presence of God. It's stuff in the prophetic ward. It's deliberations in the prophetic ward. It's instructions, it's commands, it's duties, it's operations, it's functions, it's mobility. Come on, somebody. It's stuff that God puts inside of you, inside of the chamber. God can't send a private out if they ain't been in the chamber. Oh, time for next clip. Let's go.